This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
That is true. Here we are, Studio 4, Friday, News Talk Radio 710 WOR, John Gambling Show, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, John. It looks a little dismal outside.
I wouldn't know. As you can tell, we have no windows here.
I see that. No, I mean, I walked out, the high, thin clouds, but somehow they just look like rain. I hope that's not the case for the weekend.
Well, you have not done a good job in providing, other than the drought.
I used the story, again, I've done this five times, shameless, but I was giving a commencement speech, billed as keynote speech, but just a few words, at the Nassau Coliseum for the graduation of Francis Lewis High School. This is one of the, it's a big high school, 850 kids in the senior class graduating, most going to college, speak 60 different languages at home. I mean, it's really quite amazing. They had a group, We Are the Faces of Francis Lewis, and people from all over the world stood up and they said where they were from. But I used the story. I said, you know, I got you some sunshine, and last week it only rained twice, once for 4 days, once for 3 days.
But hopefully
we have had a lot of rain. So
turn around, because we're coming up to 4th of July weekend. And
I hope the weather this weekend will be nice and next weekend.
I hope so as well. Well, where else are we going to start here this morning, Mr. Mayor, about Albany and the mess up there that continues? Some harsh words yesterday for somebody that suggested that maybe mayoral control might not happen.
You know, what I said was what's happening in Albany is as good an example as you need to see what would happen with the schools again. You go right back to the old Board of Ed when nobody was in charge. Somebody said, one of the reporters asked me when we were announcing graduation rates, which are just nothing but put smiles on people's faces. And I was telling Francis Lewis High School was a bad school, now a great school. And it's one of the hottest schools to get into. And people want to go to the school where they were running away from it half a dozen years ago or less. Anyways, the graduation rates, and somebody said, oh, well, we're talking about crime coming down in the schools. And some reporter said, oh, it's, you know, but you have police there. And I said, number one, the police are our friends. Yes, that gives people comfort. And the teachers have a right to teach in a safe place. And our students have a right to go to school in a safe place and that sort of thing. But, you know, I said, this is the first time the police department and the Department of Education both report to the same person. That's exactly what you need to make government work. Everybody wants to have all of the different agencies work together better. Fine, but you want to make sure that you structure it such that they can.
All right, but the dysfunction in Albany is now pushing this whole thing right to the wall on the calendar. We run out of time on Tuesday.
And nobody knows what will happen. I mean, we are doing work to understand what the law is, and you know, it's, I suppose, a little bit better that this time of the year than if it happened another time. I still believe, in my heart of hearts, that they will come to some kind of a power-sharing agreement and that they will pass mayoral control. The votes for mayoral control are there in the Senate.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems everybody except a handful.
And you wonder what's going through their minds. Somebody said to me, why on earth would somebody be against it? And I, you know, sort of stumble. I don't have a good answer. One of the senators voted for it before, and in his district, the test scores have improved, and graduation rates improved, and crime gone down.
He's agreed that it works, and yet he still wants it to go the other way.
You wonder why. But the most important thing is not to have a fight. Most important thing is that they come together and do the business, not just mayoral control, but do the business the state needs. And then if over the summer they want to have their own internal discussions, that's their business. But in the meantime, the state is getting hurt. And I think there's pressure building on them to do something, come to some kind of a power-sharing agreement. We need to have mayoral control reauthorized. The Assembly has said clearly 1,000 times they're not coming back, which means they got to pass the Assembly bill. And someone said in the Senate said, oh, we need time to work on it. You've had 7 years to work on it. This is Albany at its worst, because they always do that. They don't believe in deadlines. They don't think that everything is flexible. And it's not. And what would happen the next day, we don't know. In fact, we may have to
If Wednesday comes with Merrill Control, you don't know what happens, right? I mean, because there's no model.
There's no model. Yes, I know what happens. Technically, the law is clear. The old, all of this goes away, and the old Board of Ed automatically reappears. You have to have an enormous bureaucracy where you have to take money out of the classrooms. Remember, we've taken roughly $350 million a year out of the bureaucracy and put it into the classroom. Overnight, you'll have to start, you have to send letters to the principals saying, we don't know how long this is going to go on. Start sending the money back, or in your budget, send it back. In terms of making decisions, it's not clear until everybody got appointed, and then there'd be a lot of brouhaha. I don't know whether there's any vetting required, probably not.
I mean, I know this is all hypothetical, but what entity would elect and or appoint a Board of Ed?
The law gives the mayor two appointees, and then each of the borough presidents gets one, I think. So that's how you get to seven, which was, and then they have fixed terms, so they go right away and do anything they please, and they get lobbied and pushed by all the special interests. And, you know, I described it yesterday as trying to reconstitute the Soviet Union. You know, nobody wants to do this, and the votes are clear. The public's will. You got to give credit to Shelley Silver and Kathy Nolan in particular, who heads the Education Committee in the Assembly. They made some suggestions. They negotiated with the Department of Ed and the administration. We came up with ways that satisfied the things they thought would make the bill better and that we thought would make the bill better, or we could live with and they could live with and whatever. And then they passed the legislation. And we can't seem to get that. We couldn't get that in the Senate. We tried to negotiate with the Senate, but
you didn't know who you were negotiating
right.
with.
And this is anybody that says that, you know, we don't have enough time. If they can't do it in 7 years, you can't do it in 7 days. The worst thing is to craft legislation in the middle of the night. You don't want to be a part of that. We just can't do that to our kids. Unfortunately, it is done in Washington. It is done in Albany. In all fairness to our city council, they don't do it that way. But nevertheless.
What happens to the half a percent on the sales tax that you need to balance your budget if that doesn't happen?
We lose about $2 million a day. Chris Quinn said we'd have to lay off 16,000 people. It's some number like that. That's as good a guess as any. Do you have to do it day one? No. But the $2 million a day that you lose, you don't get back.
Right.
And we're not the only ones.
Pretty fast.
Nassau County, a whole bunch of other counties throughout the state, they have even bigger problems with their budget. We can survive. We have a cash surplus or a cash balance for emergencies. So we'll be okay for a period. But the bottom line is you can't plan. And there's a whole bunch of other things, incidentally, in there that we need and other places need. All these bills are backed up.
There's a story this morning which I just related just before 8 o'clock, before you showing up here, about the MTA, because the state will not give the $600 million in MTA funds that have been approved till the end of the year. They've got to go borrow for operations, and because they have to borrow, there's a law that states that when an agency has to borrow, the state takes back a fee on the percentage of the monies borrowed, so they have to pay $5 million, or as much as $5 million, back to the state.
Well, I'll let the agencies go fight that battle. The cities in this state have exactly the same
problem. Oh, do you? You have to pay a fee, too?
That's why we keep saying when money comes from Washington to us through the state, they take a fee.
They take their fee.
Absolutely. And so we always argue send it straight to the cities. They also divert some of the money for political reasons. Hey, look, the political process is what it is. Everybody's got to get something, even if that wasn't the original intent. Okay, you can... I don't know if you have to live with it. You have to live with it, I guess. It's trying to make it as efficient as you can and not have so much go away that you don't get done what you need to do. And you can see in Washington there's this battle again today over killing the F-22 program at 187 fighters. The Pentagon doesn't want them. President doesn't want them. Congress wants to vote them.
Exactly.
They're going to develop a second engine for it. Congress wants it.
The president claims he's going to veto it, but the Congress has already said we'll override your veto.
That may very well be, and also what they do is they put it on another bill. I thought the president should have vetoed a bill, I forget what it was, a few weeks ago, where Congress did exactly that. Something the president was against, they said, okay, you can't veto this.
I think it was the money for the war. I think it was the $108 billion for the war.
Yeah, but they put something on it.
Yeah, no, there was something else in it. Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right.
And, you know, that's the game that's played. And the president is in a difficult position. And sometimes he makes a decision, whoever the president is, that he just has to go along. And sometimes he doesn't. And we can say, a purist would say, oh, he should stand up every time. That's not practical either. And you know, the president probably in this case, I don't know if he did the right thing or not. Only history will tell. And he may get what he wants later on. But it's the typical process of every you put in these big bills, you can say, John, you voted for that. And you'll say, oh, no, I didn't. I voted for the omnibus spending bill. Well, you know, there was $10 million for this stupid thing in another part of the world. Oh, I didn't know it was there.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. Let's we'll get a break here and then come right back. And don't forget, if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, you will get an answer at 800-321-0710. Get in line now, 800-321-0710 for questions for Mayor Mike. Coming right back.
Mayor Mike and John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Yeah, Mayor Mike and John Gambling, perfect together. I think I borrowed that phrase from somebody. 22 minutes after 8, 8:22. Again, get in line now if you want to get a question to the mayor, 800-321-0710.
You want to talk about swimming.
Oh, that's right. I did want to talk about swimming.
See, I knew that you were going to talk about swimming.
And this isn't, it's not that time of the year, is it?
It is. The park's 54 outdoor pools will open for the season on tomorrow, Saturday. And all pools open 7 days a week, generally 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And there's a floating pool at Barreto Point Park in the Bronx, which is actually quite nice.
So a huge success. I remember when that was built.
For the 27th consecutive year, outdoor adult lap swimming program will give adults a chance to take to the water for health and fitness. Participants who swim 25 miles or more over the summer receive a free T-shirt.
Whoa.
They're exhausted.
But
And you'll live a lot longer. And I'm going up to Harlem, where I will stand there with a bunch of kids, and nobody knows whether I will jump in or not.
Yeah, or get pushed.
Or get pushed.
By the children.
But it's a great thing. Yeah, but the only thing is, don't go into a pool or into the ocean or a river without a lifeguard there. Every year, same thing.
Obviously, all of those detail about time and place are all at
311 or nyc.gov.
Something not as fun as that. Report about the building department and a report, I gather, put together by you and the building department, right? I mean, a survey or looking into the efficiencies, the problems.
Yeah, well, we have to take a look and see what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. I've never understood why government's afraid to put out bad news as well as good news. It's the public's right to know. It's information, whatever it is. And I think Bob Lamandry actually is a very good buildings commissioner. His whole attitude as soon as something goes wrong is, okay, what do we do wrong? How do we fix it? What can we do better? And we'll make this agency better. It's a very complex thing, this building going on all the time. You're there one day, the next day something changes. But I think it's they've gotten rid of, you know, there's always small-time corruption in agencies.
How about the crane issue? Because it seemed to show the age of cranes that are working here in the city, problematic.
You know, we had two terrible accidents, people killed close to each other. I'm told overall our accident rate is no worse than the accident rate every place. Construction is a dangerous job. That's not no excuse whatsoever for us to walk away from, you know, trying to enforce the laws. Construction workers have to wear harnesses and actually hook up to something. I mean, some of them wear harnesses and don't hook up. You have to have trained people, and some of the training, well, as we saw, was not, it was just bull. There was not any real training so that they know what to do to protect people down below. But most buildings go up, and, you know, we go on.
I travel in a highly construction area here downtown, World Trade Center, as well as surrounding neighborhoods and streets. And I know that there's a building, a hotel under construction right behind where we are right now that I drive my car down on a daily basis. And they're lifting with one of those high jack cranes some 50-some stories up concrete on a daily basis. No, my point is here, they do a very good job about controlling the whole
They're not supposed to bring it out over the road. They can bring it straight up.
And when they do, they stop the road. And when they do, they just close the road down, which is exactly what they should be doing.
Yeah, accidents happen. You want to keep things as safe as you can.
Do you need more money? Do you need more resource? Do you need more people in the building department?
No, I don't think so at the moment. The standard answer is always throw money whenever there's a problem. Sometimes I think you might have too much, and if people have to stop and actually try to figure out which things work and which things don't and how you do things better, that's a good discipline for us. You talk about money. I was thinking before, we talked about education and this one guy who's against the...
He's the one state senator who's against mayoral control.
And I looked at my notes. For teachers in this person's district, their salary, average salary, has gone from $48,000 to $70,000 since we've got mayoral control. The teachers are pretty happy. I mean, they always want more, but they are happy. Their graduation rates went up, and the reading scores doubled, literally doubled, and math scores doubled. I mean, some of these the numbers are unbelievable.
While we're on the subject of schools, let me just segue real quickly into an agreement that you, the administration, cut with the UFT on pensions.
We're trying to do something. Look, we have this problem that down the road pension system is going to bankrupt us. We have a defined benefit plan rather than a defined contribution plan. They, in industry, in the private sector, those are pretty much going away because nobody can afford them. But we have one, and we're not going to get away from it. Our solution is try to negotiate some changes in it. We need Albany's approval, so our agreement with the UFT is really just a memorandum of understanding, an MOU, as they call it. And then in the fall, the Assembly and the Senate will have to pass a law. But they typically do when both the city and its union asks for something. So I'm assuming that they will do that, just like the sales tax. I'm assuming they will do it. They typically approve when the city asks for a change in a tax that only applies to city residents. They always do that.
I understand as part of that agreement there was also the understanding that teachers would not have to come to school before it opened, that they would show up on the same day as students. That seems a little problematic.
We're trying to work out. The bottom line is we're trying to find things that let us save money. You know, they will, if they work a day or two less, make adjustments in the pension, and we need the money. On the other hand, you're right. That is a problem. I don't want to cut the number of days the kids go to school. So we're working, and it's still a little bit fluid. But what they typically do now is they have to come to work on Thursday and Friday before Labor Day, and then the kids show up on Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. I don't know what the attendance rate for the teachers on Thursday and Friday is, but the bottom line, you know, they don't get a lot. They do some things, and the question is there another ways to do that which would let them do what they need to do so that the schools are ready for the kids, but also they wouldn't have to do that so they could, you know, if they had a vacation, they could stretch the vacation through the weekend, which would be attractive to everybody.
So I see you finally accomplished one thing in the 7 years you've been here. You got rid of Randy Weingarten. I don't mean that seriously.
I went the other time. It was actually funny. They had a going away dinner for her, and I got up and gave a little speech, and it was cute, making some fun of some of the things that have happened over the years between us. Randy Weingarten gets, I think, a little bit unfairly vilified. Keep in mind, her job is to be a labor leader, not to fix the schools. And as a labor leader, her job is to get better working conditions and more money for her members. And there's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of times it is the governments that cave in to unions. I don't begrudge the unions for asking for more. I think the stewards of the public's money sometimes don't do their job. But, you know, and I've never agreed with her on everything, but we have been getting together for breakfast every couple of weeks for 7 years, quietly, without appearing in the papers, just to keep in touch, talk things over coffee and eggs. And she really has... She's going on to national level, but she has been phenomenally innovative and creative. If you think about it, she's done for her members. She's got them a 43% raise in compensation over the last 7 years. And the city has got things we wanted, performance pay, the equivalent of 25 days more in the classroom, changes in a lot of the seniority and bumping things. So together, we really have, she is as much as you and me and everybody else a part of the solution. She has a right, I think, to look in a mirror and say, hey, you know, the schools are infinitely better than they were 7 years ago. I was part of that. Yeah, and I'm a fan. Doesn't mean I always agree with her on everything, but she's very innovative. She's creative, and she's got the courage to stand up and take some controversial positions. And keep in mind, she's got a union. I don't know how many, including retirees, probably something like 130,000 members. They don't always agree with her, and she's got to lead from the front rather than do a poll and lead from the back. And she is, in all fairness, even if you dislike her, she is a leader.
Good. Okay, Mr. Mayor, let's take a break right here. Again, a reminder. Let's see here. I think we got one or two lines open. 800-321-0710. Mike's doing the screening. Give him a call if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. 831. Time for some more news and Joe.
Give John a call now. 800-321-0710. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
22 before 9 o'clock, John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg here at WOR. We're talking about money and, of course, in Washington, stimulus and TARP and all of that. Story in Crane's business.
Story in Crane's about One Bryant Park getting refinanced. It is still...
What does that mean for the rest of us, do you think?
It means that the banks are slowly going in the direction of getting back to doing what they did before in terms of borrowing money and relending it, which is their business. And unless they do that, people can't build and you don't have the construction jobs and there isn't the new housing and office space and stores and that sort of thing that we need when the economy starts picking up again, which it will, and I think is actually starting to happen. And this is a very big deal because it's $1.25 billion, it lets Durst keep going with this building. One Bryant Park is one of these iconic buildings. It really is a big deal where it is, and but it's good news for the city. You cannot go out and get construction loans and permanent financing the way you used to, but we're starting to go in the right direction.
Think this will help your World Trade Center problem?
It doesn't hurt. The problem with World Trade Center is still, there's so many conflicting views as to what should be done. There's conflicting priorities. There's all sorts of different inputs. We've dealt with, since 9/11, three different governors in New York and three different governors of the state of New Jersey, and that matters because they control the Port Authority. And each one's tried, in all fairness, Patterson and Corzine now, they're trying, but the Port Authority, there's some people say it should only do transportation things. Having said that, the World Trade Center was theirs, and, they've got a responsibility here, so maybe it shouldn't have been, but that was fought back.
Any change from last week to this week, or not really?
Libra keeps working as hard as he can.
Okay. Let me see here. Explain to me why a judge ruled against the city in its continuing efforts to make the taxi cabs or turn the taxi cabs into hybrids.
Well, the judge I happen to know, and he's a very smart guy, and his answer is on a technical basis, has nothing to do with whether he thinks it's a good idea or a bad idea or whether he agrees with cleaning the air or whatever. It, just as a matter of law, he says that the federal laws preclude the city from having their own mileage standards and that this is a ways that's trying to get around that law, and he wouldn't permit it. Now, well, we're looking at our options. Can we appeal? Can we change the law slightly or regulations slightly? The judge isn't necessarily, and I've known Crotty for a long time. I can't speak for him, but I assume he's as pro-environmental as anybody else. His job as a judge, however, is not to push an agenda. His job is to interpret the law as
which
best
I appreciate.
He can. Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Now,
I don't agree. I wish he hadn't. But
what's the complaint of the cab owners? Why don't they want to do this?
That is a separate thing. There's some that object to anything. There were people who objected to the ability to use a credit card in a cab. You don't hear those complaints anymore because their tips are better. There were cab drivers that objected to the changes on Broadway going through Times Square and Herald Square. I haven't heard complaints from one of them. And friends of mine who take cabs ask, and they say traffic is much better. Now, it's still the summer, so let's see what happens in the fall. But, you know, that looks like it's working. Computer modeling for traffic is actually pretty good, and it says this should really provide big improvements in through traffic, east-west, west-east, and north and south, mainly 6th and 7th Avenue, but it does spill over to other avenues. And it certainly is going to reduce traffic fatalities because the sidewalks just couldn't hold the crowds before, and people would be in the streets now. That's not true anymore.
Do you agree with...
Yes.
Yeah, well, but be careful.
And yes and no.
Be careful.
All right,
that's a better answer.
Then yes and no.
That's a better
answer. Now you're
going to
tell me what the question
answer.
Is?
Do you agree with the allegations that the homeless problem in the city has not improved at all from the Coalition for the Homeless?
No. They have an agenda,
I understand.
They have a right to their opinions. They don't have a right to their own facts. What we've seen is the number of people sleeping in the subways and on the streets keeps going down. It's down 30-odd%, something like that, in the last half a dozen years. The number of single people in the single people shelter is down significantly. Where we have had an increase, and it's really because as much the economy as anything else, is in the family shelters, which is typically a mom with two kids. That's the average. And one of the other problems is the better we make the shelters, and remember, they used to have to sleep on benches and then get bussed all around the city with their kids in the middle of the night. I mean, all that stuff's gone. Today, it really is a much better system, much more humane. Unfortunately, it also means that people who get into the shelter system don't want to leave. And these advocates who are screaming every time we want to have more incentives to get people to take apartments we find for them and get vouchers so they can afford them, they don't want us to do that. And then they want to complain that there's more people in the shelter system. You know, come on.
Speaking of housing.
The guy, Hess, who runs a shelter system, the homeless, it really is a classy guy. He's really done a great job.
Has the economy, the softening of the economy, and I know that the real estate market has softened somewhat here in the city, has that negated the need for more housing, more affordable housing? Has housing become more affordable?
No,
or is it still
no, people are still trying to move into the city. If anything, we've got a bigger housing problem. We have a housing problem, affordable housing. We have a middle-class housing problem, which we're working on yesterday over at... at Hunter's Point South, directly across from maybe 23rd Street, 33rd Street, thereabouts, south of Long Island City. We announced Kathy Nolan was there, Eric Joya was there, Helen Marshall, the borough president of Queens, was there, and we announced a new development. We've worked a deal with the state, so the state turned over all that land to the city, which will now get developed to housing and schools and middle-class housing, because that's what we need. And it's great. The views are phenomenal. You're a couple of blocks away from the number 7 line, so getting into Midtown Manhattan's a snap. You know, it's as nice a neighbor. It'll be, once you do the parks and everything, it'll just be spectacular. But we need more middle-class housing, and we need more affordable housing. We need housing at every economic level. And in some senses, it's a nice problem to have. Other cities have people moving out. We have people moving in. And even though the economy is slower and the housing market prices are down, that does not mean by any means that we are. The more we build, the more need this seems to be.
How does that work with this, with the land? You get a developer or developers for a project like this.
There's a number of different ways that we can own it and lease it to them. I mean, you know, you can make that as one of the come-ons to build more affordable housing. In return for building more affordable housing, you can reduce the price of the land, or you change the zoning so they can build higher or whatever like that. Because all of the, you know, we talked about building 165,000 units or rehabbing for affordable housing. That's generally done with private money. Why does private money do it? Because they get something out of it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Final question, and then maybe we'll go to our break here and leave us some time on the other side for our questions. Do we have any open lines? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we have one. 800-321-0710 if you've got a question for the mayor. CDC, story this morning. CDC said swine flu cases of 1 million in the United States, with 500,000 of them in the state of New York. That seems to be an extraordinary number.
I don't know. They now have Tom Frieden down there, so I can't criticize CDC. But, you know, there's a theory that half the country's had swine flu, and it's just so mild you don't notice it. I mean, sometime in the last couple months, did you have a sneeze or two, a cough?
Yeah, actually for 3 weeks.
I mean, yes. That may very well have been a mild case. What's interesting here is typically flu is very dangerous for the elderly, and we've had virtually nobody that's elderly die, and that's unusual. So this flu is slightly different. Nobody knows whether the good news would be is if everybody has a mild case of the flu and it produces antibodies. So if it comes back in a more virulent form in the fall, people will be protected.
One of the things that you said when you came in as mayor 7 years ago that you were going to take care of were the scofflaws, the embassies here in the New York that had fines against them.
We keep collecting money. If you go, nobody is, and I saw Gillibrand and Schumer asking the Senate Appropriations Committee to withhold.
Right.
They never do.
They never do.
We had no help in that, in all fairness.
No, I said at the time, good luck.
The good news is we've stopped, not totally, because there's always somebody that parks in front of a fire hydrant, but you never see a complaint anymore about the diplomatic community parking their cars every place. And my sister is such a bug on this. You know, I think the embassies finally said, okay, Marjorie, we'll cooperate. Just leave us alone.
Well, she's collected
an awful lot of the money. Some of the stuff, these you'll never collect them, and they'll take them to court, and the judge will throw them all out. Yeah. There's no witnesses. There's a lot of these 25 tickets in half an hour. Come on, that's... Judge is going to throw them all out.
I got you. All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. We've got a full list of those on the phone. We'll get to as many as we possibly can. We will do that in just a minute.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, it's your turn to ask the questions, as we do each week here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 7 before 9 o'clock. Going to go to line number 4. That's Mike in Bay Ridge. Mike, you got the mayor's ear. Go.
How you doing? Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Listen, owing to the logjam in Albany, do you think it would be feasible for the city to become its own state at this point?
Well, number one, you'd have to change the federal constitution because they need that to have more than 50, one of the number of states we have now. Number two, I don't think Albany would vote it, and they'd have to because we're the cash cow. We support the rest of the state. Actually, it's interesting. I am told, and before anybody uses this, you should double-check the facts, but I was told by a couple of people that the Tweed Courthouse, when it was originally designed, they started out building what they thought would be a state capitol because the idea was New York should secede from the state back then.
Or maybe be the capital.
No.
They thought back then there's
a reason why capitals tend to be in
center.
Small places away from the big cities.
It's interesting.
Nobody wants them.
That's very, very interesting. Thanks, Michael. Let's go to line number 5 right here. Victoria, go.
Hi, Mr. Mayor.
Hi.
Thanks. Parking is a major problem in New York City, and I'm wondering why it's not mandated that any new construction place the first 3, 4, 5 floors for parking only.
Well, the issue is if you force the owners to do something, maybe it's uneconomical. I think that it's a good idea to be able to have parking. And, in fact, it's not just for automobiles. For example, City Councilman David Yaski has a bill, which I hope the city council passes, which would mandate that buildings try to accommodate bicycles. A lot of people bicycle, and then they clog the sidewalks and that
hallways.
Sort of thing.
And
yeah, so it's a great idea to have buildings do it, and I think a lot of buildings do it because they think it makes their building more attractive to tenants to have an internal parking lot. So most of the big buildings already do, Victoria.
All right, Victoria, thank you. Let's number 6. That's Sheila in Tappan, New York. Sheila.
Hi, Mayor Bloomberg.
Hi.
This is not a city question. This is just a question of what your opinion is of the tax and trade.
Cap and trade. Personally, I have always, and I just everybody thinks I'm crazy, but if I were Congress, and I'm not, so I don't have to take a lot of grief over it, but I think a carbon tax is the, if you want to reduce the amount of carbon we spill into the air, a carbon tax will do it. If you want something that is going to have so many exemptions and so many unfair provisions and some people getting treated better than others, then that's what cap and trade will do. And it's just not a very efficient ways to do it. It's sort of like taking, you know, three right turns instead of one left turn to get where you want to go. Now, you can, a separate position is that we shouldn't do anything. And I think that's a mistake, but that's a legitimate position. But if you were going to try to reduce, to use capitalism, economic incentives to reduce pollution, I don't think cap and trade is a very efficient way to do it. If that is what you want to do, then just a carbon tax.
Okay, because cap and trade is a tax.
Yes, yeah, sure it is.
Right?
Yeah, it's just a tax that is going to benefit, John, a small group of influential people who will be able to influence the way the laws are written. That's been shown to happen all around the world. There's just so many exemptions and so many... what cap and trade basically does is says, you know, you can continue to pollute the air if you pay somebody or the other side of the world to not pollute the air. Now, if that person on the other side of the world wasn't going to pollute the air anyways, you know, you really haven't accomplished anything, and you're still...
Paying the tax.
You're still paying the tax. No, you're avoiding the tax, but you're still polluting.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Sheila. Interesting. John in Queens, you've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
John. Hi, Mayor Bloomberg. It's an honor. Voted for you twice. I'm from Queens. And
John, thank you.
Hey, I'm just concerned. A couple hospitals closed in Queens recently. Their paramedics removed from the 911 system, and it left FDNY paramedics kind of in a lurch having to cover that area.
Yeah, we've authorized more paramedic runs for the FDNY. The FDNY, John, they have a bunch of paramedics that are as good as you'll find any place. If they show up when you are having a heart attack or a stroke or something, you know, you get the best. I can't guarantee they're going to save everybody's lives, but they do. They just do a spectacular job. And we've authorized more runs. What happens with these hospitals? You had basically a base closing commission that the state put in place. In this case, it was a hospital closing because the politics of closing hospitals are very bad. But the economics of small hospitals are very problematic. And in the day when you want hospitals to have more technology rather than less technology, small hospitals just sometimes can't do that. Two hospitals in Queens, you know, very controversial, but it's a state doing it. And I don't mean to pass the buck, but the bottom line is that the trend is going to be towards more bigger hospitals and fewer smaller hospitals. And we've got to make sure that the voluntary hospitals have their paramedics well-trained. But the first line of defense in this city is the FDNY paramedics.
A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to get involved with some of the paramedics, not only from the FDNY, but from the hospitals. It's a joint effort here in the city, and it is a phenomenal operation that does a really, really great job.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a reason why life expectancy has gone up 50% or some big percentage more here than any place, any other big city in the country, and why New York, you now you live longer than elsewhere. It's paramedics showing up earlier. We have GPS now in these ambulances. It turns out the dispatchers who knew every ambulance was didn't necessarily know every ambulance, and this helps them. And you cut 30 seconds off a 4-minute response, and that's a big deal.
I see Stu Loser in the control room. He's blowing up the tube for you to use if necessary.
You never know whether I'm going to jump in. It'll be a big surprise to everybody if I do.
We will not be gathered here. I'm going to take a week's vacation, 4th of July observance, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Well, looking forward to it. Have a great time.
Yes, enjoy your red, white, and blue.
I will be parading.
Have yourself a good week, and I'll see you in a couple. Rita Cosby will be in here for the next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you. Have a great 4th of July. It's 9 o'clock.